said, "My dear Lord, you are all-powerful. After entering within me, you have enlivened all my sleeping senses, my hands, legs, ears, touch sensation, life force, and especially by power of speech. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you." Purport. Dhruva Maharaj could understand very easily the difference between his condition before and after attaining spiritual realization and seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He could understand that his life force and activities had been sleeping. Unless one comes to the spiritual platform, his bodily limbs, mind, and other facilities within the body are understood to be sleeping. Unless one is spiritually situated, all his activities are taken as a dead man's activities or ghostly activities. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has composed a song in which he addresses himself. O living entity, get up! How long shall you sleep in the lap of Maya? Sisi Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. How long shall you sleep on the lap of Maya? Now you have gotten the opportunity of possessing a human form of body. Now try to get up and realize yourself. The Vedas also declare, get up, get up. You have the opportunity, the boon of the human form of life. Now realize yourself. These are the Vedic injunctions. Dhruva Maharaj actually experienced that upon enlightenment of his senses on the spiritual platform, he could understand the essence of Vedic instruction, that the Supreme Godhead is the Supreme Person. He is not impersonal. Dhruva Maharaj could immediately understand this fact. He was aware that for a very long time he was practically sleeping, and he felt the impetus to glorify the Lord according to the Vedic conclusion. A mundane person cannot offer any prayer or glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he has no realization of the Vedic conclusion. When Dhruva Maharaj therefore found this difference within himself, he could immediately understand that it was because of the causeless mercy of the Lord. He offered obeisances to the Lord with great respect and reverence, completely understanding that the Lord's favor was upon him. The spiritual enlivenment of Dhruva Maharaja's senses and mind was due to the action of the internal potency of the Lord. In this verse, therefore, the word Svadhamna means by spiritual energy. Spiritual enlightenment is possible by the mercy of the spiritual energy of the Lord. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is first addressed to the spiritual energy of the Lord, Hare. This spiritual energy acts when a living entity fully surrenders and accepts his position as an eternal servitor. When a person places himself at the disposal or order of the Supreme Lord, that is called Sevan Mukha. At that time, the spiritual energy gradually reveals the Lord to him. Without revelation by the spiritual energy, one is unable to offer prayers glorifying the Lord. Any amount of philosophical speculation or poetic expression by mundane persons is still considered to be the action and reaction of the material energy. When one is actually enlivened by the spiritual energy, all his senses become purified and he engages only in the service of the Lord. At that time, his hands, legs, ears, tongue, mind, genitals, everything engaged in the service of the Lord. Such an enlightened devotee no longer has any material activities, nor has he any interest in being materially engaged. This process of purifying the senses and engaging them in the service of the Lord is known as bhakti, or devotional service. In the beginning, the senses are engaged by the direction of the spiritual master and shastra, and after realization, when the same senses are purified, the engagement continues. The difference is that in the beginning the senses are engaged in a mechanical way, but after realization they are engaged in spiritual understanding. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yanta pravishya mama vacham imam prashuptan sanjivayat yakila shakti dharasvadam na anyang shasta charana shavana tvagarin pranan namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. Translation: Dhruva Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, you are all powerful. After entering within me, you have enlivened all my sleeping senses, my hands, legs, ears, touch sensation, life force, and especially my power of speech. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you." This verse refers to Dhruva Maharaj. Especially he mentions that after his spiritual realization, his power of speech became enlivened. He speaks of the hands, the legs, the ears, the touch sensation, the life force, which became enlivened. But he mentions especially the power of speech. Why is this so? This morning we will talk about enthusiasm. This morning's discussion will be about enlivenment. We often hear devotees expressing a firm determination and desire to become more enthusiastic in their service. What does it mean to become enthused? This is a very interesting point. Many of our listeners in the audience, or several, have the Brahman initiation. When we chant one mantra, we are glorifying our spiritual master and we are thanking him in one line that he has enthused us, like he has become enthusiastic. Inspiriert gibt es nicht wieder als Übersetzung. Es ist wichtig, dass man das Wort Enthusiasmus benutzt. We could go a little bit into the etymological origins of the word enthusiasm. There's actually the word theos. This too comes actually from the word theos. Theos means God. Someone can only be enthusiastic if he is inspired by God. So we say to our spiritual master, thank you, you are so enthusiastic, you are so enlivened, thank you for having enlivened me also. So of course we all know that our enthusiasm can still grow. I want to return now to the original question. Dhruva Maharaj describes here what enthusiasm is. My hands, my legs, my ears, everything, my touch and so on, have been enlivened. They were sleeping before, but now they are enlivened. Then he says, especially my sense of touch, sense of speech. And there is a reason for this. See, when Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord after a long time of meditation and austerity, at that time he desired to offer his prayers. However, he could not do so. He could actually not say anything. He could not speak. He might have stammered something, jaga, 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 or something, like Lord of the Universe trying to say Jagannath. This is Mahaprabhu in his ecstasy, but then just going, jaga, jaga, jaga. He might have wanted to say something, but he was not successful. Then the Lord in his form as Prishnigarbha touched his head with a shankha, with a conch, and then he could all of a sudden speak and offer his prayers to Krishna. Now that had a reason, because the Lord had empowered him with the conclusion of all the Vedic scriptures. And he touched his head. Within him, Dhruva Maharaj became knowledgeable of the conclusions of all the Vedic scriptures. So this brings us to a very deep understanding of the concept of enthusiasm. I sincerely hope that you will all be able to follow this. Please try. If you do, it is really something extraordinary. See, when the material energy was there lying in its unmanifested state, the Bhagavad Virya, the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, entered it and made order into that which was unordered. This Bhagavad Virya, or power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has sometimes also been as described as Shabda Brahman, the energy of the Lord in the form of Shabda, of vibration. If you would dust off your old Bibles, start reading it again, you would hear Am Anfang war das Wort, in the beginning was the Word. You remember this from your Hallelujah hours? Is true. We would say at the beginning was Shabda Brahman, and the Word was with God. We would say Shabda Brahman is also Bhagavad Virya. It's the power of the Lord which emanates from him. I'm saying this because we have two nice devotees amongst us, Gaurachand and Bhakti Devi, who are engaged in interfaith preaching, and This is one of the points where, which can be used in order to establish the universality of religious instruction. In other words, found in other scriptures also. It may be also interesting for Sangatan devotees who may meet Christians and want to convince them to take Srimad Bhagavatam with them. You have to can show them yes, similarity. It's not so foreign, not so different. It's one religion is one. You can like this. So when the Shabda Brahman entered in the material universe, it put everything in order. You can give a comparison with a TV set. When you have a TV set, there are black and white dots flimmering, moving in disorder. However, if the antenna receives an impulse or a signal, an electromagnetic wave, a vibration, that's what it really is. That's also Shabda, according to our understanding. Then, the picture, black and white picture, comes in order and you can see a forest or a lake or some architectural structure or whatever is the information which has been received by the antenna. In exactly the same way, the Shabda Brahman enters the world, and our pilgrims leave us in Jamanski in Germany. So this is what happens. In the same way, the Vedic injunctions, Hare Krishna, which are a sound vibration, which give information, if they enter us, then our lives can come in order. We are lying sleeping, just like the dormant material activity, dormant material energy. Just like the material energy has to be empowered by Shabda Brahman, also our lives have to be empowered by the Vedic information. Someone who has not heard the Shabda Brahman in his life, who has not heard the spiritual information, his ears are compared to the holes of the snakes, whoop, where the snakes go. Not a very big compliment. someone who does not, after hearing, engage in devotional service, he has a body like a dead man, like a ghost. Ghost cannot do anything helpful. The Vedic instructions should reach our ear and then be captured, and then we will be arisen from the dead. Now, just for your information, we talk very much about the Vedas, and I wanted to explain to you a little how the Vedas are built up. I think it is important. It's an educational point which requires a little of your academic side, if you have it. The Vedas come in four divisions: Atharva, Yajur, Rig, and Samaveda. And they have Samhitas, Vedangas, and Puranas, which are surrounding this body of knowledge. The Vedas have four. Now, all the four Vedas are divided in four divisions. There's one division which speaks about yagya, that means offering. There's another division. This is what's called the Brahmana. It's usually spoken in prose. Then there is another division, which is called the Aranyaka. This is what the rishis, the forest-dwelling saints, speak. It's the knowledge of renunciation. Therefore, Aranyaka. And then there are the Upanishads, and finally the Vedanta. Upanishads and Vedanta talk about the essence of spiritual, of Vedic knowledge. Now, then, around this Vedic scriptures, there are, so to say, Gebrauchsanweisung. How do you say this in English? A manual, yeah. A user's manual. That comes in the Vedangas. First there is Shiksha, how to pronounce the mantras. That's very important. If you do not know how to pronounce the Vedic mantras, you cannot achieve the end of your yajna, especially for yajna. This is very important. Therefore, next to the priest is usually a priest who corrects the priest. If he makes a chanting mistake, he immediately comes in and says the right Aranyaka. He says the long A. The priest might have said a short A. So then immediately he is corrected, because if that sound vibration is disturbed and not right, doesn't work, the yajna. Then there's a kalpa. This is this part of the Vedangas. This is the second Vedanga, so to say. Anga means limb of the Vedas, huh? Like the arm. It helps the Vedas to function. Kalpa is yagya, the yagya, and the order in which the, and the kriya. Kriya means, I'm sorry, the kriya means the ritualistic activities. Then there is a third Vedanga. It's called Vyakarana. It's the grammar and also the definition of words. That's very important in the Vedic language. The terminology has to be cleared. What do you understand with enthusiasm, for instance? They can talk hours on this. There is like an exact definition so that one knows what one is talking about. That one knows if one is speaking or coming from the same universe of meaning, so to say. Then, fourth Vedanga is Niketa, Nirukta, I'm sorry. Oh, it's the meaning, this is really the dictionary. Vyakarana is more the grammar. But the Nirukta, I made a slight mistake, is a dictionary. There the meaning of the words is given. And then there is the fifth part, Chanda. That's the meter. You know, how you can chant your Vedic mantras. And then finally is the Jyotisha. That is, of course, astrology. So you can see, the Vedas, which are sound vibration, have an exact science how to utilize the sound vibration. It's like a computer. If you have a computer alone without a manual how to use it, right, you will not have access to all the programs which are there and all the conferences and whatever other mystical things are going on the hard disk. In much the same way, you cannot extract the full benefit of the Vedas if you don't, for instance, know the six Vedangas. If you make a wrong meter, if you don't know the words, if you not the meaning, if you yourself are not pure by doing the right kriyas, and if your yajna is just a speculation, it doesn't work. So then there are 10 Mahapuranas and 5 Puranas. And within these Mahapuranas, did I say 10? I didn't want to give any specific number. There are Mahapuranas and Puranas, and and amongst the Mahapurana there is one king, one Raj. That's the Srimad Bhagavatam of God. So in the Mahapuranas there are 10 symptoms, and in the Puranas are 5 symptoms. They have to deal with Sagar, Vishagar, Avatar, with Naimita causes, and so on and so forth. These are these symptoms. What does it mean? You all look inquisitive. Vishaga means there's a saga, that's the Adi Srishti, the original creation in the form of the elements, and then there is the Vishaga, which is a secondary creation, that means when from the elements something is manifested. Then the avatars and the poshana, the protection of the Lord, and so on and so forth. I see you are not prepared so much for a very theoretical understanding, and I want to close the chapter of this this chapter of the lecture now. So all I wanted to express to you is that the Vedas is a vast body of knowledge. There are different ways how to use that knowledge properly, the Vedangas. There are Puranas which explain the Vedas in a way which is understandable for us. In the Vedas everything is explained. But the ultimate goal of the Vedic scripture is, of course, Krishna, the origin of all. Dantakrit Vedavit Eva Chaham. Krishna is the knower of the Vedas, he is the speaker of the Vedas, and by all the Vedas, he is ultimately to be known. See, the Vedic sound vibration wants to just bring us in contact with Krishna. This is what we as his devotees also want. If we speak today about being enlivened by the, just like the dead material creation was enlivened, then we really speak about coming in contact with Krishna and how to do that. In the scriptures it is described that by hearing especially the Bhagavatam regularly, the Lord in the heart becomes awakened. He is inactive, or the passive observer, the antayami, so to say, up till the moment where you start to really want to hear. At that particular moment, you become, the Lord in the heart becomes awakened. For instance, some of you this morning are struggling a heroic but hopeless battle with sleep. Now, it's a very dramatic to see you from this seat. See, I want to make like a personal note. When you give lectures, you are totally dependent on your audience. If you want to be sensitive and serve the audience, if you just want to rattle off your concept, then you can just close your eyes and go and not care for anyone. So if you want to serve them, you have to make sure they listen. So just you know, jump a little from the lecture, give yourself a break, just study the psychology of hearing. And we are not so much interested in what comes, we will not be so much able to control our sleep. But say, for instance, I will tell you now, dear Prabhus, the prasadam is not served at the usual place this morning. It is not there where it is. I will now give you the exact description. It's a very hidden place. You have to really listen. You know where it is. then at that moment you go like, what is that? All right, I'm ready. Tell it. You know, no trace of sleep any longer. It's just the psychological dynamics of hearing. Interest must be there. This is also discussed in Augustine's philosophy of primacy of will. Before recognition, this is a philosopher of he makes the difference between cognition and recognition. You understand these two terms? Cognition is just mere sehen, and recognition is erkennen. And he says, in order that cognition turns into recognition, there has to be the will. I must want. You know, if I, for instance, look like this in the audience, I see there are many. But if I say, well, let me see who is there. Boom! Then I see Shrishti Kata, freshly shaved. You follow? This cognition and recognition is something something different. Will has to be there. So also when we speak of becoming enthusiastic, what we have to really do is we have to want. I'm determined to not let you go to sleep. I'm also starting to fight now my battle. You have to want to hear. Only then the Lord in the heart becomes awakened. The whole process of spiritual life is not something external. Therefore, Lord Brahma says, Jnane prayasamudapasta namanta eva. Then he later says, Stane stita shrutigatan tanuvan manyobi. He says, you can stay wherever you want. You don't have to make external changes. The only thing which you will have to do is you will have to hear Shruti, and he says, not half-hearted, but with the mind, with the body. Tano van manobiet. The body, the speech, and the mind. These three things have to be engaged in the hearing process. Then you can become enlivened. Then you can become enthusiastic. Please remember, why is this so? Because Shabda Brahman, the spiritual sound vibration, which already enlivened this whole dead desert of material existence, that same Shabda Brahman is in the hearing process of devotees. You follow? So what does it mean to hear with the body? That is clear. With the mind, we have to think about it. And then the speech. We have to speak about what we have heard. If you just inhale but don't exhale, you will have a serious problem in your life. In the same way, if you just hear, but never put it into practice and never speak about it, it won't stay with you, the knowledge. If you, however, are enthusiastic to hear, there will be certain very auspicious symptoms in your life. Do you remember Parikshit Maharaj? Parikshit Maharaj sat down 7 days before his death and heard. I mean, he could have done many other things. Answer the last letters. You know, have a festival, invite all the citizens and say to Virginia, goodbye. Sorry, I'm getting ready to go to Serbia. Getting all my all my words out. You know, he could have, you know, take a good rest so that the pain of the death wouldn't be so heavy for him. Many things. But he sat down and he listened to the words of Shukadev Goswami. And you will be glad to hear what he said a few hours before his death. He said, "When I'm so enlivened by this katha, by this talk, I don't see." He had fasted and not slept. We just did this in the festival. Some of us were just totally exhausted after it, but he managed 7 days non-stop marathon hearing without eating and sleeping. He said, "I'm so enlivened. Now I really don't care. Let the snake bird or whatever mystical thing the is bound to come by the Brahmana's curse, let it come. But my desire to you is, Joseph, you just go on with this Krishna katha. Just let this stream of nectar, let it continue to flow." He was so enthusiastic. Isn't that a sign? In other words, he was free from all fear. The Bhagavatam says you can make a test in your life. Three things have to happen when you daily hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So please test if this happened so far in your life. You become free of anxiety. You become free of lamentation. And you become free of illusion. I think this is what some of our devotees here experienced on Nityananda's appearance day. It must have been, I saw some faces full of anxiety. But then when they went to the kirtan and just immersed themselves in the Abhishek, at that time, by the power of transcendental sound, the anxiety was driven away. Illusion goes, and also lamentation. "Oh, I didn't get this, I didn't get this," or the other thing. So this is the power of transcendental sound vibration. Now I will tell you a secret. After Shukadev Goswami had told the Srimad Bhagavatam, he asked his disciple, "Is there anything else you want to know?" Because now he was going to go through the test of fire, you know, the death. And Parikshit said, "No, now I only have one single desire. Please allow me now to fix my mind on the lotus feet of Krishna." And Shukadev said, "Yes." And he was very pleased with his disciple who had understood the message of the Bhagavatam. He got up and left. His mission was fulfilled. And then Parikshit Maharaj wanted to fix his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. But then, in the last second, he was just getting ready. All of a sudden, his mother came. This is a secret. It is not well known amongst the Vaishnavas. Uttara came. Now everyone says, what is now going to happen? What did she want? I mean, couldn't she understand that he now needed to have a little, you know, free time for himself, so to say? If you want to. She came and said, "My son, may I disturb you? I just have one very, very big request. Please tell me the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. You have heard all this nectar, and you are now leaving with all this nectar, and I will stay. Please, you know, just give me the drop of the nectar." Parikshit, you know, he said, "Actually, I wanted to now
fix my mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, but because your question is so wonderful, I will now start talk to you. How selfless he was, isn't it? He said, okay, you can have my time. And he started to speak the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. That Brihat means big, Bhagavat means the Bhagavatam, and Amrita means, of course, the nectar. This is what he did. What do you think now? Isn't that a sign how enlivened he was by the spiritual sound vibration? Yes. Therefore, if we also want to experience enthusiasm, or let us say, if we feel that our enthusiasm is not quite the way it should be, if we see we are dead men, our time is robbed by the ghosts of materialism, our attention is stolen away by lust and by anger, our life force is uselessly spent in activities which are subservient to the body and the mind, to our false masters, huh? Then, if you feel that, then you have to make a reform in your life. You have to become enlivened in the science of Krishna consciousness, just like Dhruva Maharaj says in this verse. My dear Lord, you are all powerful. After entering within me, you will say, well, Dhruva, I'm not Dhruva. How can the Lord enter me? Yes, he is already within you. He is there as a super soul who becomes very active in your life, who guides you if you hear. Then you will be enlivened in your senses, your hands, your legs, your ears, your touch, your sensation, your life force, and your power of speech. You will hear that. You will experience that without difficulty. Prabhupada, he used to talk of his disciples. What were they before, he said? And what is my secret so that they have become like this? I was speaking about Krishna. But that's all. You will... In Bombay, there was this long mela of different sadhus speaking. I don't know if you ever were in India during such a mela. Mela means like conference. Every sadhu wants to talk. And he doesn't want to stop at the right time. He just go on and on and on. And all the people are just sleeping, but the sadhu is wilder and wilder. These Mayavadis, it's what the Mayavadis do, and very complicated, and so then Prabhupada was the last one to speak. It was a trick by the organizers, because they all knew that everyone came to see Bhaktivedanta Swami. This is how they were known, we as disciples have to say, as divine Krishna. So they came to see them, to see him, because he had brought his Western disciples. It was the first time where Prabhupada just came with his devotees from the West. So he was the last one, so that everyone kept on staying, so to say. And then Srila Prabhupada, instead of speaking, he just made a rising kirtan. It's described in the Lilamrita, all the people in the audience, they were rising, they were dancing back and forth and back and forth, and the devotees went higher and higher on the waves of kirtan, floating above the conditioning of the material existence. Afterwards, Prabhupada said, That, you know, he didn't even want to speak. He just said for 2 minutes, "This is my secret." You know, they were all speaking. What these Westerners, they just heard the chanting of the holy name, and you can see how enthusiastic they are now, how they have become enlivened, you know, dancing. So this is really the secret of spiritual life. Please let us, this festival was very nice for all of us. We all got the mercy, certainly the mercy of Lord Nietzsche. Aha, die Aufmerksamkeit. Ja, ja, klar. Lokabandhu Prabhu is requesting an explanation. What exactly happens when lust and anger are stealing our attention in devotional service? Well, the Kumaras have given the following explanation to King Prito. They compared the mind with a lake, and the sense objects, or the meditation about the sense objects, with these powerful, it's like straw, but it is not straw. These are plants which suck water. So when these plants are allowed to grow, all the water which is in the lake or pond is sucked up and it becomes dry. This is also what happens to in the mind of a devotee who contemplates or meditates about the object of the senses. After like becoming lusty for them, and then after that lust is frustrated in some way, or it didn't work out the way one wanted it to work out, then one becomes angry. Gnev comes. It's a good word for anger. Gnev. It sounds gnev, you know. It sounds very good. So this is how then you become so dry spiritually. There's nothing left. It just sucks everything out of you. No heart is left. No enthusiasm. No devotion. No respect. Just anger. Destructive fire, flames of anger. So this is how the Kumaras explained it. And if you want a further explanation, is you only have one heart to give away, Lokabandhu. You can't give two or three. You just, either you give it to Krishna, or with so many thieves to say, Lokabandhu's heart is such a nice heart. He's such a good boy. Lust comes, let me take the heart. No, anger says, let me take his heart. you know. Lokabandhu is a very advanced soul. This is what happens to you know, this is exactly what happens. Shraddha, it means to give one's heart, or it means faith. Faith, actually. Faith means to give one's heart. Okay, I'm giving my heart now to this process. I'm simply doing this process so that the lust and the anger can't steal my heart away. When you are lusty and angry, you need to just invest a little faith, because at that moment one has no faith in the processes of devotional service. Madness has stolen away the faith, and one even feels in a certain inability to connect oneself with the processes of devotional service. So at that time, take your heart back, you know, and give it to the processes of devotional service. Then you will be saved. Is this do I answer your question? Have I answered your question? Viel mehr passiert da nicht. Das ist eine einfache Sache. Man meditiert über die Sinnesobjekte und die ziehen dann einfach die Aufmerksamkeit. You know, every activity in this world needs some enthusiasm. Prabhupada speaks about this. everything needs some energy, and if you put it, invest it in lust, if lust or anger takes the energy, then you don't have that energy for devotional service. This is what happens. Therefore, this example with the plants in the water is given. Takes the energy. Madhu, madhu, they're fine, you feel it again. Bitte. No? Question has changed like a chameleon in the process of being put. So I don't know which part, the green part or the red part, I have to address now. First it was your question, then it became a challenger's question who challenges the process of Krishna consciousness. So I will answer the two parts of the question. Let me answer for you first. It is the cause for all our, let us say, dryness, if they or not being inspired. You say, well, at least in my life, I'm not inspired, and I think every one of us feels it like this. It's not an individual's question; it's an honest observation of the beginner's struggle in Krishna consciousness, or also the devotee who's in the intermediate process of Krishna consciousness, level of Krishna consciousness, Kanishta and the Madhyam, at least the lower rung of the Madhyam stage. We are not always enlivened. But if you make a chanting reform, then this enlivenment can come. I have a very moving tape which I lost. It's one of the losses in my life which, you know, just makes me cry today. There was this lecture, and it was such a good lecture, but I lost it. It's Prabhupada speaking to devotees who have serious difficulties in Krishna consciousness. I mean, they have no enthusiasm left. They even want to go away. So Prabhupada was imploring them and say, no. And then he gave them a cure, the medicine. And he said, go before the deities and just chant. In other words, Prabhupada was confident that the transcendental sound vibration can enliven even an almost dead disciple, a half dead devotee. That is the medicine which we have. Prabhupada once in another very moving preaching, very moving. It was in San Francisco. It's described in Only He Could Lead Them, that I think third volume of Lilamrita. The devotees, someone comes and wants his help in some ways. And Prabhupada just implores him, please chant Hare Krishna. This is my only medicine. So, if you do suffer from a lack of enthusiasm, this is the medicine. Please take it. don't reject it. Our problem, Madhu Mangal, is, oh, we have heard so often Chen Hare Krishna, it didn't work. This is how we say it. But have we really tried? I tried many times, try like this. Consider yourself drowning in an ocean. How you scream, oh no, help! You know, the ship is driving away, you know, you have fallen from the, you were leaning on the railing of the ship in the ocean and it goes away. How you will scream, Madhu Mangal? Help! Help us get up on it! You know. So that went up, oder? Fast. Ja. Es geht aber nicht. You know, you will be very loud. So, in the same way, you have not recognized that you're drowning. You're drowning in the waters of a mirage. Eine Fata Morgana. In this connection, I want to tell you a little story how we are captured. Once there was a pious man on a pilgrimage who drank water. And somehow he thought that in the water, that it was a mistake, but he thought he had drunken a Kaulquappe. Now, whatever this is in English. Kaulquappe, weißt du was it is? It's a frog, you know, they're... What? A tadpole. Yes, before they grow leg, they're just round in a linse, you know, like a... You know, round, and then they have a little tail. Is that the thing? And then it moves by the tail. How is the name? Tadpole. Is it Australian or English? Both. Yes. A tadpole. Thank you very much. So he was thinking he was drinking with the water a tadpole, and a Kaulquappe. And then, when he drank it, he, oh no, I will die. I was on a pilgrimage, but I drank meat. Now, and he developed all the symptoms of a person dying. You know, he had the death fever and everything. So then a wise man came to him who knew that he was just dying because of an illusion. And he said, okay, vomit. Okay. And then he this wise man had brought a tadpole, right? Kaulquappe. And he just, when he was not looking, threw the tadpole into the vomit. See, the tadpole is swimming very nicely. It's still living. You have not drunken meat. You know, well, you may have drunken meat, but now it's out. You are not responsible for killing. The pilgrimage. So this is a good example how we are often so much in our illusions, Madhu Mangal, and suffering. We must, how we are controlled by Maya. If we think the process of Krishna consciousness, if we even think it doesn't work, at least not with me. But it works. And if you just get away from this fever of illusion, somehow or other, then you are safe. And you have to do that by chanting the Hare Krishna. Krishna. You have to cry. You have to understand, I'm in illusion. Like, I thought this was very nice in this play, how, I mean, almost the whole temple was destroyed. It was such an intense scene. You know, Jayadev flying from, I mean, he can really fly almost, you know, left to right. He really got into it. Help me, help me. You know, like this. If you chant like this, an answer will come. But you are so in illusion. You're covered in. It is because of this. It is because of this. It is because of the tadpole I just swallowed. You know, that therefore I'm suffering. You're suffering because you don't chant. You don't hear. You don't take shelter of Krishna. So that's for you the answer. Have you understood, Madhu Mangal? Second answer is, so the materialist who does not accept, have the same face structure which you have. Oh, you Krishna, you're just in another illusion. That's how they say it. Nice illusion. It's good food, but that's all. My general argument is, someone who is in illusion cannot give up the process of sense gratification, but our devotees have. You are brahmachari, for instance. You wouldn't be brahmachari without Krishna consciousness, isn't it? That is sure. I mean, when we met, you were contemplating to get seriously involved in a relationship, isn't it? That I remember that. Given that up only due to Krishna consciousness. This is not seen, and maintaining it and not doing any Ersatzbefriedigung, you know, just going on this process. It's a psychological fact that no one can give up, can develop vairagya, who's an illusion. That's a vairagya is based on jnana, or coupled with jnana, with knowledge, not illusion. Why knowledge? Because, well, if you're in an illusion, after some time you are really challenged. Imagine you live in the illusion of being Bruce Lee. That's a big fighter. You go like this on the road, you know, with that mentality, you will be defeated by an opponent. So Krishna, if you were just an illusion vairagya, you would be defeated, and you would have to marry after some time. So many of our devotees are celibate, they are not in illusion. It works, in other words. I'm sorry for being such a preacher, but to tell the facts. Once in Vrindavan, there was someone with me, a scientist from the Max Planck Institute. We met in Vrindavan. We never met before. And he said, well, see, it was in the Yamuna. I was taking my bath in the Yamuna. And I said, come on, bathe, you know. And three drops on the chair, then here, then here, then here, then here, then here. If you're in Rome, do as the Romans, you know. No! It's dirty water. I will develop serious diseases. Everyone knows this, Abwasser system in India. It's just, you know, all the garbage flows into the rivers. I will get Ausschlag and Pest. No, Pest he didn't say. He mentioned a few diseases, you know. And the dust then jumped in the Yamuna, you know. swam. Very nice, healthy. Then he was really angry at me. I mean, we had developed a little relationship, friendly relationship. We had at least walked 500 meters together. So so he said, "You are an illusion. You think this is holy and it is transcendental, it is not touched by chemistry, huh? You are so much an illusion." And all this Vrindavan is so much an illusion. He really was offensive towards the residents of the holy Dham. You know, you can tolerate Vipat says, "I'm an illusion, yeah, no problem." I have to become more Krishna conscious, I know, but he really went, he blasphemed the whole Vedic culture. He said, "Do you know what? I can take a bridge Parsi in my laboratorium, can put electrons on his head and create another illusion." He was so angry because I I will never forget it. I really, you know, I was in a Vrindavan consciousness. I didn't have my argumentative skills ready. My weapons were somewhere locked up in my preaching room in Germany, you know. I really didn't know what to say, because it is a fact. You can put something in the brain and then you think something else. You can stimulate the brain nerves in some ways, isn't it? And then you have some perception. By hypnosis, you can make a person believe who eats an onion at Zwiebel that he eats an apple. You can do that. And there are experiments where they put electrons in the brain of a cock. I know of that experiment for sure. Hahn. It's a chicken, you know, a male chicken. Kikiriki, this is a cock. Then he will believe to see, you know, it's in a hall, they make this experiment in a hall, and he will look like this, nothing is there, but then he goes, steps to the side, and then he goes like this, and he says, you know, he's very enthusiastic, because the perception is he sees a car coming, then first he wants to fight it, then he knows better to jump aside, and then he runs, then the car drives away, this is what he sees, and he thinks, "I chased it away, I'm victorious by false ego," you know. So you can do that just by electrodes. So I was aware of these experiments, and you know, I said, "I don't speak with you any longer." Then chanted, "Krishna, give me an argument, give me an argument. Oh, Krishna, Krishna." He looked at me, "Sorry, I didn't want to hurt your religious beliefs, but this is what we can do with modern science." I was thinking, I'm going to get him. I will just defeat him like anything. This is too much, you know. I must defend Krishna now and Krishna consciousness. And then the next day he came again. I said, I will think about your argument. Just come the next day, I'll give you some nice food. And he came. And I think I got him. First, he was diseased himself. He got diarrhea in the night, you know, by his offense. You know, he just let. You know, that was the first thing. There was the reaction. And then, what happened? And then, in the same night, he had gotten a telegram. Yes, this was what defeated him. It was not me, it was Krishna who defeated him. He got a telegram that his sister had died. And he said, "I need your help. I was very attached to my sister. She was very beautiful, very learned, and she was a real sister to me." And he said, "Well, I only have an illusion for you." "No, no." You know, I said, "I'm in an illusion only." You know. It was like this. And then he said, "Come on, you know." And then I preached to him very intensely, and He still writes me sometimes letter. He's a scientist somewhere, from my perspective, he's very good in the material sense. That was so to say the bio argument which got him. He couldn't maintain his concepts in the face of death and disease. He became humbled down. And the second argument, Jayadev has made a very good theater play about this bio argument. It's about a person who's aborting a child, a doctor who's aborting childs always, killing childs in the womb, and then he receives a phone call while he is talking to a lady how she can abort her child, what methods are available, cutting the child and so on, sucking it out of the womb and so on. And then he receives a phone call, this doctor, and his wife is on the phone, and she cries and cries and cries. What is the matter with you? Oh, our daughter has died. And then he goes, well, it's just chemicals displaced. And then she says, what is the matter with you? Are you crazy? In his theater play, because the theater play is meant to keep people thinking, he remains crazy. But in a normal situation, not just a drama which makes people thinking, in a normal situation, they go like, what, our child has died? Then all the chemical understanding is gone. And they come to a different thing, which is much more real than all the modern speculations which happen. And then I say, how can a whole civilization be for so long in a collective illusion? And how can this collective illusion bring forth art, ragas, music, scripture, which is making arguments, the scriptures, which you even have to accept from your partial vision of reality, the mechanistic vision of reality. Saying like this. And then I'm going into a realm how the Vedas say things which have been found out by material science. And say they talk all about this. How can they be wrong about this other thing which you don't really know about, the world of emotions, the mind, and so on? How can they be wrong if they said all this? Then I'm usually giving prasadam and drowning the argument, because once they are on the mental platform, you have to give prasadam to drag them on the tongue. Then they are good boys again. Good. So, any other question? We are really long today. Yeah, Jagannatha Swami. Please. You can say some of these empirical things. Ganga water remains pure, even after having been stored for a long time. You can also go from the point of archaeology. They found remnants of the Vedic scriptures. In Mexico, they found a deity of Vishnu, which is, according to modern science, must be much older than 5,000 years at least. And at that time, much older. And at that time, according to modern science, there were no instruments to make. Dr. Vatsala says yes, because it was self-manifested. But that's even a more spiritual, that's Hare Krishna.
That was a very good comment. Yes.
Hare Krishna. But ultimately, that's what Sariputta Prabhu said. You won't be able... ultimately they have to purify all this dirt out of their brain. Just these empirical things won't help. They have to become attracted to the process. So in the beginning we can argue like this, but if you see after 5 years you are still arguing on that level, most probably you won't, you know, change. Good. Are there any other urgent questions? I also think that we are really coming to an end. See, it's 10 minutes before 10. We should close our discussion. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.